Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
It's always great to welcome in our friend Tim Fitzgerald, the publisher of Go Power Cat, joining us on Heartland College Sports, also the co-host of the show. You got to be checking out Big 12 Insiders. And listen, we've got a few weeks to go till the college football season gets here, but right now, this week, I'm not buying it, but it's what's getting all the attention. So before you start with us, of course, hit that thumbs up below the video. We appreciate you doing that. Subscribe to the podcast. I'm Pete Mundo. We are Heartland College Sports. And Tim, let me just ask you right out of the gates, all the rumors circulating, and it's just kind of summer fodder, Florida State, Big Ten, SEC, they don't want them, according to Brett McMurphy. I'm not buying it. What about you?
I wasn't until my colleague Jason Shear, who absolutely killed the four corners coming to the Big 12 and took a lot of heat in the process. When he reported it the other day, I bought in because I trust him. And then Brett McMurphy comes back with it today. I would love to know who is leaking this, because apparently they have a few leaks on this. Unfortunately, not on the Kansas State end. I have started to believe it. And you know what, Pete? The more I look into this, the more it makes a lot of sense. And even though the ACC fans, Florida State fans, don't get it, the math really works out well.
Okay, well, let's backtrack to the Jason Shear report. And he's done an incredible job at Wildcat Authority. You're right. He was ahead of the curve on the corner, the four corner schools. But his report, if we go back to that, he said, according to sources, there's an internal belief in the Big 12. Florida State and Clemson are likely to join the conference within the next year or so.
Right.
I mean, to me, that's just confidence out of the Big 12 or somebody at the Big 12. And I don't blame the Big 12 for being confident, but that doesn't tell me what I need to know about what's going on the other side of the equation. That's still pending lawsuits and litigation and things like that with those two schools.
Well, I think I'm assuming from that tweet there are ongoing discussions. You wouldn't be confident if you hadn't gotten feedback from them, because why would you be without good feedback from them? Brett Yormark is a convincing guy. And what I think's going on here is, keep in mind this private equity thing going on. It looks like he might be using some of that just to pay off their buyouts out of the ACC. That is a huge financial boost for those schools not to have to pay that. And I think that might be what is kind of fueling this, along with this idea that right now the Big Ten and SEC don't want either of the big two. And it's very intriguing to me what's going on with those conferences, because I can see why they don't want them. There are other schools that kind of fit what both conferences are seeking a little bit better. They feel like they have good enough football programs. They just want some regionality. They want some adding, if you're the Big Ten, you got to have that AAU status, which isn't a requirement, but it basically is. And, you know, the SEC, I think, just wants to expand its footprint throughout the Southeast. And as I continue to joke, and some it's somewhat true, you can't complete the Confederacy without Virginia and North Carolina.
Interesting. Now, here's where I'm not still buying it with, you know, the report from McMurphy that came down that says the Big Ten and the SEC aren't interested, especially in Florida State. One, I don't want to hear the SEC talk about how they don't want a disruptive program. They took freaking Texas, Tim. Okay. You cannot tell me that you don't want a disruptive program like Florida State when you just took the Texas Longhorns, who burn everything they touch to the ground or try to.
They're good at killing conferences. I don't think they can kill the SEC. They tried with the Big 12 and failed.
I mean, come on. What is that all about? That just doesn't make sense to anyone who knows anything about college football in Texas.
Again, Texas is that trophy wife that is worth the nagging and awful stuff. The trophy wife with a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And it's really what Texas is so valuable. You put up with it. And, you know, it's, from my standpoint, the Big 12 grew because of Texas. Now, look, trying to say Texas dominated this conference is laughable. They didn't. They were pretty much run of the mill with, you know, if you're in the upper half of the Big 12. They didn't go to the championship game, what, twice? And that's just people not really understanding the Big 12 at all. They act like Oklahoma and Texas won every conference title. Granted, Oklahoma had some great years. But at the end of the day, once Texas announced they were leaving, the Big 12 got stronger. They kind of grew together. The members all kind of locked arms and said, you know what? We're free of them now. It was good while it lasted. Thank God it's over.
Yes, yes.
And now they move on to the SEC. And you know, look, Florida State is getting a really bad rep. They really are. Mm. And, you know, that comes from, I sense from Florida State fans, they put themselves on the same level as Notre Dame and Texas. Yes. Folks, you aren't. Now, you're the best. You and Clemson are clearly the best of the ACC, but you're not Texas and Oklahoma in ratings. And this is another school that has a really big self-belief in themselves. They look in the mirror and they see George Clooney and, you know what, they're more like Pete Mundu.
You know what, if only we could all be Tim Fitzgerald, who's joining us here on the show. The other thing, and I'm going to move on to some other stuff, but I want to put a bow on this part of the conversation with this. The other thing I just don't believe is that these two power conferences, the Big Ten and the SEC, are starting to create that separation. If you allow Florida State and Clemson into the Big 12, you're creating or allowing a Power Three to be created. In a zero-sum game of college athletics, why is it beneficial to those two leagues to have a Power 3 versus a Power 2 where they have all the power? They can create all the decision-makers and decision-making. If nothing else, adding those two schools is defense against the Big 12, is it not?
Well, do they really need that, though? I don't agree that they just want to be the Power 2. I don't actually agree with that. I think they would accept that and they like being that, but they also know the other schools have to have a legitimate parking space, you know, or the legal fights are just going to get ugly if they try to break away or something. And I think having a Big Three, really a collection of the best programs in three different conferences, kind of solves a problem that they're creating. Now, I think the Big 12, even though the math kind of roughly works out to be pretty close, I think the Big 12, because it'll be slightly less pay with 20 schools, if we're looking at that, or 24 schools. I don't think it'll go there. But the numbers do close up. And if in the 2030 renegotiations, if Brett Yormark can break basketball off into its own thing, it could be pretty comparable to the three conferences. And I think that's good for college athletics. I don't know why they would be too worried. They think they're every school in the SEC is better than Kansas State and Utah. Why would they be worried if Kansas State and Utah get more money? They're the SEC and these schools aren't. Mm-hmm. So I think from their both conferences' arrogance, they think it doesn't matter if the money's even, they're still better.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll have to see how this all plays out. Now, were you at Big 12 Media Days last week?
I was.
Okay. We had a couple staffers there. Yep. I didn't make the trip with, you know, three little kids. And, you know, I don't know how you felt, Tim. You tell me your takeaway. But I didn't like the move to Vegas. Maybe you feel differently after the fact. But, you know, I don't get it. I don't get going to a place where there's no Big 12 team when you let the SEC take over your backyard in Dallas. What about you? How was it? What was your takeaway on that?
I kind of agree with you, but keep in mind, Jerry Jones is an Arkansas guy. And I think the Big 12 should be playing hardball with them because it's going to be back there next year, apparently, in Las Vegas. Part of this is the scheduling of World Cup and some of that stuff going on. So there's some logistics here that aren't working out. But if he kind of wants to play with the SEC instead of the Big 12, maybe the Big 12 will just look at moving the game. Now, I don't want that, but that's a possibility. I think going to Las Vegas was significant in the fact that it's a market that I think Brett Yormark loves. And I'm pretty confident if UNLV was better, if UNLV was Central Florida or even Boise State, they might be in this conference because I think the whole sports gambling aspect of it, it kind of plays into what the Big 12 is pushing. This is a really entertaining conference. If you can capture the sports betting crowd that just watches games from start to finish all day long, if you can capture those eyeballs, your ratings are going to go up. And I think that's kind of what he's pushing. I made this comparison, and you kind of need to be a Vegas person to get this. But while the SEC and Big Ten are kind of like the Wynn and Bellagio, the Big 12 is trying to be Circa. They're not going to match up with those big places, but they're going to carve out their own niche, which is sports betting, and go for it. And I think there's something to be said about being that pesky third entity that gives you troubles and starts attracting a lot of attention.
You know, I just think about what Yormark said about why he loved Kansas City for the Big 12 basketball tournament. And he said, you know, we own this town. This town embraces us. We're the only game in town. And he alluded to Vegas when he said, you know, Pac-12's out there with three other conference tournaments. You never feel like you've got Vegas to yourself because it's Vegas.
Right.
So based on what he said about Vegas, I see what you're saying, but those two things don't add up. You know what I mean?
I agree. I'm not weirded out as much about being in Vegas because they had to go somewhere this year, and maybe it should have been Kansas City or even Oklahoma City, but they ended up in Vegas because I think he wanted to be on that stage. I was kind of weirded out. Why are we doing this in Allegiant Stadium where there are no games? I mean, it just seemed odd to be holding it on a field that none of the teams will play on unless they go to a bowl there. So it just didn't make sense to me. I'm not sure why you have it at the Bellagio as your headquarters and just don't have the meetings at the Bellagio. It would have saved him money, but he likes that big splash thing being in the football stadium with the big screens. And it is pretty cool. It is a great setup, but yeah, it was weird being in Vegas instead of Dallas. And it did cut down on the number of people that could go because so many in this region could drive. And because one of the things I'm disappointed in, Pete, was I was interested to see without Oklahoma and Texas, what was attendance like?
Yeah.
You know, but we couldn't really tell because it no longer was in Dallas. There was other logistical things going on with trying to be in Vegas.
Yeah.
It was an expensive trip. It was.
I mean, listen, we got a business to run here, and yeah. I sent five. We had five guys in Dallas. I'm not sending five guys to Vegas. I mean, you know, the economic times are what they are. We're all trying to, grind away in the industry, and five dudes in Vegas from the Midwest ain't happening right now.
That sounds like a good movie.
It does. I was also keeping close tabs on my guys for the last week or so while they were there. So
we took four in part because, you know, we've got our own Big 12 show now and we wanted to do some stuff from out there. We want to kind of get on the map a little bit. But here's the thing about Vegas. Bellagio room costs, I think it was like 188 was the media rate.
Yeah.
By the time they throw in all their fees and stuff, it was over $300 a room.
I know it was crazy.
It's crazy. So it was an expensive trip, but you know, I think it was a good trip. I felt for the first time, the conference is real.
Yep.
And I think everyone kind of felt that way, that, okay, this is a thing. This is what we're going to do. And I can't wait for the games to go because we can all stop yapping.
I know. Well, I'm ready for that. I mean, take me through coming out of Big 12 Media Days. I get, you know, Deion Sanders was Deion Sanders, but was there a storyline, a player, a team, just something coming out of Big 12 Media Days that surprised you as a story or an issue that you didn't think about going into it?
Not really. I mean, seriously, I mean, Jalen Daniels was out there for KU. He looked good, but then one of his teammates said, well, he's not really doing anything yet because of his back. I'm like, I thought he was playing. I thought he was healthy. So that caught my attention. The other thing that caught my attention as a guy who covers Kansas State was taking Avery Johnson. And look, they see him as.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
As a foundational player, you know, a generational talent, and he might be. Everything we're hearing and seeing, it seems true. But taking a sophomore quarterback that wasn't your starter last year is kind of unheard of. And he handled it great. He handled it exactly like I thought he would. This kid has matured far beyond his years. He's an old soul, and he just handled everything really well. But other than that, I didn't really think anything was too flashy, too, you know, other than Mike Gundy admitting he's driven drunk 1,000 times. Mike, We did. I know, Mike, I'm basically your age. We all did it back then, but let's not talk about it. Okay. Let's not talk about all the nonsense we did when we were younger.
You know, it was so dumb too, because first off, he's breaking down BA, you know, he's breaking down blood alcohol levels. He's breaking down, you know, Oklahoma law. And then he puts out the tweet saying, I was talking about general bad decisions. It's like, no, you weren't. You prefaced your whole point with blood alcohol content, Oklahoma law. And by the way, you forgot the fact that Ollie's not even 21, so his blood alcohol level is supposed to be zero.
Yeah. I totally get what he's saying. I did. He shouldn't have said it, though. And someone said, do you think he did it on purpose? Because now all the attention's on him. And I'm like, I don't think he did it on purpose, but it sure as hell did that.
No, yeah, it did. Absolutely.
If unintentionally, Mike Gundy came out as a smart guy there, even though people want to frame him as being stupid. Thousands of times, though. Yeah. What was going on in Stillwater in the 80s? How much drinking and driving was happening?
You couldn't get the third string quarterback to give you a ride? I mean, come on now. You kidding me?
Seriously, though. I'm serious. In the 80s, we did it. In fact, if you got pulled over, they'd go, how drunk are you? Okay, get home. You know, it was just a different world. It really was. And in hindsight, it was a ridiculous world doing that. But it was what we did.
Well, I'm glad I was born in 88. I'll just leave it at that. Tim Fitzgerald is here of Go Power Cat. Okay. I do want to ask you two of the four new teams, obviously, with Coach Prime. How big of a circus, and I don't mean that negatively, but I just mean the circus around Coach Prime. What is that going to be like, you think, for the Big 12 this year based on what you saw at Media Days?
It's good for the conference. First of all, it really does attract national attention. I didn't really pay attention to what the national media outlets put out, but I'm sure a lot of it was Coach Prime driven and Mike Gundy. But I'll be blunt here. I stayed away from it. I had no interest in being in that circus. And it's kind of typical of me. I don't like crowds. I don't like doing that kind of thing, but my guys were over there and they said it was interesting. And if you're the Colorado media, you were glad you went, because you got players that quite literally don't do media unless they're paid NIL money. So yeah, the three stars, like, this just sums up Colorado football. He took his two sons, his star and Travis Hunter, who's amazing, and his punter. You know, it just kind of says the rest of the roster, I'm taking my punter. And there just seems to be this caste system. These are this upper class guys, and the punter is going with us. I just thought it was really strange, but it gave the media an opportunity to talk to Deion's sons and Travis, and they don't get that apparently in Colorado. They're off limits because they only talk when NIL money's on the table.
What are you hearing? You know, Dylan Edwards is now, of course, at K-State. I don't know if he's talked a lot publicly about any of this, but he just left there. I mean, you know, he left after 1 year and he had a good year. So, I mean, what has he said, if anything? He doesn't seem like the kind of kid that's going to be trashing him, but what has he said at all about that?
He hasn't. But you know, at the end of the day, he felt like he was being told one thing and something else was happening, which, you know, that's pretty common actually in sports. He's going to be the number one running back, but oh yeah, we're taking two guys out of the portal. And I think he felt like, you know what? I'm not comfortable here. And from what I've heard, he wasn't comfortable in Boulder. He just didn't quite fit in. And Deion's running a different program. It's my understanding they have some team meetings over Zoom still, which is very odd. So I think he just wanted to come home. I think he realized after he got out there, I should have just stuck with my K-State commitment. I want to be playing close to home and with my best friend, Avery Johnson. So that is going to be a fun storyline to follow for K-State football fans.
But hey, when you're a kid and Deion Sanders calls, I get it. You know, it's tough initially to say Mo. No,
and they have a lifetime relationship. I mean, he was his youth coach down in the Dallas area. So he called him Uncle Deion. Well, I think he found out that Uncle Deion was still not part of the inner circle of those three guys.
Yeah, that seems how it goes. So this Avery Johnson, Dylan Edwards connection, everyone knows about it. But how special can this be? K-State picked to finish second, of course, in the Big 12. If this year goes how a lot of us think it can go for Kansas State, I mean, is this the kind of relationship combined with this kind of team that can really, I mean, be one of those historic Kansas State football years that fans will be talking about for decades to come?
I talked to Connor Riley about this on my Life of Fitz podcast. It does seem like even though the transition of the program from Bill Snyder's offense into, you know, Courtney Messingham and then Colin Klein and now Connor Riley, but the basic principle of the K-State offense hasn't changed. It's creating one-on-one matchups and having their better athlete, which was Deuce Vaughn for a while, beat the defender. And now Dylan Edwards and Avery Johnson bring that. Certainly DJ Giddens is an effective running back. They feel good about their receivers with Dante Cephas being added to the mix. They feel like they just have more weapons so that those one-on-one matchups become more volatile, more explosive for the offense. And honest to God, Pete, I don't know what a defensive coordinator is going to do if he's got play fakes going to DJ Giddens, Dylan Edwards, and Avery could keep the ball. I think we're going to see a lot of that with Dylan maybe in the slot. And you know how K-State likes to move guys around in the formation from the line of scrimmage back into the backfield. It's going to be entertaining to see how they use him.
Yeah, no, it is. Now, I don't know if you've made your predictions yet or anything like that for the Big 12 season, but one thing we know the last 3 years, somebody comes out of the middle of the pack and surprises. Yep. Last year, Oklahoma State picked to finish seventh. They're in the Big 12 championship. 2 years ago, TCU picked seventh. They are in the Big 12 championship game. Of course, they lose to K-State, but they make the playoff. 3 years ago, Baylor's picked eighth. They win the Big 12 championship. So, I mean, you look at the middle of the pack here in this league in the preseason standings, Iowa State 6, West Virginia 7, UCF 8, Tech 9, TCU 10. I certainly think, I mean, if you're an Iowa State, West Virginia, UCF fan, you should be thinking, hey, why not us this year? What about you?
Yeah, my team to do that's Iowa State. And, you know, Kansas State closes the regular season up in Ames that last weekend of November. That could be for a spot in the Big 12 championship. And I think Iowa State found itself last year. I thought it was a great coaching job by Matt Campbell, because to have the distraction of all the gambling stuff that ended up being nonsense, basically, and to come out of that and have to play a freshman quarterback, I thought it was a marvelous job. They went through some growing pains, but they really found their footing by season's end. And I'll take Rocco Beck any day. I mean, I love that way that kid plays. He's one of those, I keep saying this on our own show, he's a warrior quarterback. I see the same thing with Green at West Virginia. You know, the same thing was Colin Klein at Kansas State. One of those guys that's going to get beat up, bloodied, and show the way to victory. Max Duggan did the same thing. Now, I'm going to put it all on the line, and if you don't do it, you're going to stick out. And he's kind of dragging that program upwards again, because he is a fighter, a scrapper, and I think this team really fits Matt Campbell.
Mm-hmm. Of those teams, I'm leaning UCF out of the middle of the pack. I love West Virginia. Schedule's just, I mean, horrible for them.
They got beat up. They got an easier one last year, and
yes,
they took it on the chin this season.
Yeah, it's a brutal schedule. I just, you know, if you look at UCF, Tim, I mean, they're a couple of plays away from 8-4 last year. If they go 8-4. We're talking about UCF a lot differently going into this season than we currently are, because they went 6-6. The talent, I mean, that's a top 3 to 4 talented team in the Big 12. And the schedule is pretty good. They've got Iowa State in mid-October. So of that bunch, I'm looking at UCF.
I agree with you. I think they're going to be good. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of talent. Keep in mind, they had quarterback issues. Mm-hmm. That's the wild card you could never calculate in. When you start to have quarterback issues, then you're probably, everything goes out the window. I mean, certainly it'll be that way for Kansas State. It's going to be that way to a degree for Kansas. You know, if you get to that second string quarterback, it's just not the same as your first guy. And that's what happened to them last year. Mm-hmm. And I thought the biggest problem, though, they had is they forgot how to tackle for the middle of the season. And then they got that corrected, because it was an embarrassment.
Yes,
but I also think they're well coached overall. I'm a big Gus Malzahn fan. I think they're going to be okay. And they go to Florida this year, and that's a huge game for the Big 12.
Yes,
that is a statement for the Big 12. If the Knights can go in there and win, at the very least go to the wire. But if they win in the swamp, I think it really shows what the Big 12 is about. And just because they're the lesser brand doesn't mean they're the lesser team.
I love that. There are three Big 12 games in the non-con I've got circled. West Virginia, Penn State. I mean, you get the Mountaineers to beat a top 15 Penn State team in week one. That's huge. Oklahoma State, Arkansas, and then UCF, Florida. But my icing on the cake, if I could win one, is Houston over Oklahoma. I mean, how sweet would that be for a Houston team picked at the bottom of the Big 12 preseason rankings?
You talk about wild cards. Willie Fritz is going to improve that program, and I think we'll notice improvements immediately.
Yeah.
He's going to have to kind of weed out some players and get his own guys in there, but they'll be much more disciplined and execute better than they have. And I think Houston's scary. If he gets it going with that recruiting base, watch out.
And Dana Holgorsen was never going to work. I don't know how you felt about Dana. He was a complainer at West Virginia. Everything was always someone else's fault. He left that cupboard totally barren. He had a couple of, you know, a season or two that was decent in the group of five. I never thought it was going to work for him at Houston in the Big 12. He's not a grinder, man.
I know. There's a couple hires I don't get. That's one of them. And the other one, Cincinnati taking Scott Satterfield. I don't see how those. I feel like he hired a name more than a system or a coach. And yeah, it drug Houston down a little bit. Willie Fritz is the real deal, though. And it took him a while at Tulane to get going, but he got going at Tulane. We got going really good at Tulane with a little tiny stadium and, you know, not a big name in college football. Now he's in the Big 12 at Houston. So I'm a little guarded with what the Cougars could become.
I see a lot of Lance Leipold comparisons. You know, he got that big break late in life, but he wins everywhere he goes.
Yep. So, yep. Good coaches in this conference.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, Tim Fitzgerald, we love having you on here. Can't wait for the season. It's obviously just a few weeks away, and we'll be talking to you soon, my friend.
How is it almost August? What's going on? It's the thing I like about realignment is it fills the summer with action.
That's good. But I know you don't do this and I don't do this. We're not going to be sitting around farming for clicks on this stuff. I just want to get the skinny and have the real conversation with people who, you know, can analyze this stuff fairly and without all the bluster and nonsense that we get in so many other places, you know?
You know what's sad is it works. I see some outlandish headlines. And then you look at the number of views and like, well, it worked.
I know.
And I just think at some point it ends your credibility.
Well, that's what I mean. Are you playing the long game or do you want the clicks on the front end? Yep. You know, I mean, you've been doing this for too long. You've got a ton of credibility. You know, we've continued to build it over almost 10 years. You got to play the long game. I agree, but it's amazing. You know, some guys don't, and it works out for them in the short term, at least.
Yep. It is kind of like a sugar high. If it works, it's great for you.
Hey, man, thanks for being here.
You bet, brother.
He's Tim Fitzgerald, Go Power Cat, of course, a co-host as well of Big 12 Insiders. Check him out on YouTube. And if you are new to the show, subscribe right below the video. And on the podcast, drop us that 5-star rating and review. So appreciate you guys being here on Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great day.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.